Okay, we're going to Beli Neder, as Hashem, will return to Shabbos. I haven't forgotten. Approach number two, we have to get to. But let's first, a little segue into Sukkah. Maybe a little Kedusha. Tangent here and there. Why not? Okay. Hope everyone's enjoying our R&R. Our little, you know, taking it easy in this lighter Sukkah. In between some of the more intense sugyot that we've been doing and that we'll return to Be'ez Hashem, but it's like, this is for fun. Okay, Opsia Gasa. So, we mentioned last time, the issue is that according to many Rishonim, it's Kedabai Minei, right? Kedabai Minei Rebbe. That's the focus. The Braita and the Halacha of Shalohi Hilucha B'Shabak Hilucha B'Chol, that reflects the question, the assumptions that that Rebbe had initially, not the response that he received. But say that's the simple approach. The Rambam, however, we saw it doesn't seem to learn that way. The Rambam seems to accept the response, and therefore it would seem that there's no difference between Shabbos and Chol. The idea of show you, you know, that I feel Chol mihitiro, it's also even now, or it's not advised, whatever. It's the Meiri makes a distinction of different levels of research, but that doesn't seem to, I mean, if you're not doing it, which is to make whether you're not doing it because it's not a good thing or you're not doing it because it's Aser. Bottom line is, if you're not doing it, so then how is Shabbos any different than Chol? So we'll see. That's what Hashem will see. But first, let's turn to Sukkah. So, we have a halacha that an avel, it has to be defined, it's only the beginning of avel, day of burial, an avel doesn't wear tefillin. Okay, I'm going to say simply, an avel doesn't wear tefillin. That's obviously an oversimplification, but an avel doesn't wear tefillin. And the question is, as I mentioned during Chavruta, and everyone's been working on this, the question is, is this a halacha in avelut, or is this halacha in tefillin? Okay, is it that an avel is not in the proper state to wear tefillin, and therefore it's a pgam, it's in the treatment of the kedusha tefillin by wearing them when one is an avel? That's one way of approaching it. That's a tefillin halacha, or one could say that it is. In other words, that in order to wear tefillin represents a certain pe'er, a certain splendor, a certain regal demeanor. And if a person is in a state of avel, so they're not able to wear tefillin properly. Avel is, in a lowly state, and that's not a way to wear tefillin. So it's a tefillin halacha. It's not kedusha tefillin demands that an avel not wear, it would be a denigration of the tefillin to wear it in that condition. That's one way of understanding it. However, one could also say that no, because tefillin is a sign of splendor, therefore a person wearing tefillin when they're an avel, they are taking away from their from the statement that an avel is supposed to be making about their condition, and so it's a chisaron in avel. It's an avel talacha.
How's it different?
How's that different? You know okay. We're saying that it's certainly an interface of the two. The question is, where is it coming from? If an avel wears tefillin, okay? If an avel wears tefillin, is it that he failed to live up to his requirements as an avel? Right? Because an avel is supposed to show himself in a lowly state. An avel is supposed to show that he sits on the floor and he doesn't shower. And he does, right? Shows, as part of Kavanah Meir, he sits in a way that demonstrates that he is in a state of mourning. And wearing tefillin would be inappropriate in that state. It would be a failure to properly observe the halachot of avel. Okay? Or I can say no, that it's a question of tefillin, that because an avel is in that state, therefore it's not a proper condition, it's not a fitting way to wear tefillin. Okay, I don't mean this analogy precisely, but in very, you know, broad strokes, you know, the second way of approaching it is that you know, we'll start from the first one. The first way is, roughly speaking, it's, you know, just by means of an analogy, the first, saying it's avel halacha, means it would be like if an avel were to shower and put on fresh clothing and, you know, v'chule, it's avel. The second is more comparable to saying if a person were to wear their tefillin into the bathroom, and, you know, so it would be, in a, you know what I'm saying? It's conceptually very different. Or, if you would like, we could put it slightly differently, okay? Would I put this halacha in Orach Chaim, and you know, what am I saying? No, that's not what I meant. Never mind. Scratch the last line. I did not mean that. Would I put it in the halachot of tefillin with the halachot of avelut? Sorry, both in your day. Okay, but in any case, different parts of you. Okay. Beseder. So let's start with an easy one. Okay, the Ran. Okay, so the Ran in Sukkah. The Ran, nice and straightforward statement by the Ran, I think. The Ran says that Avel chay b'chol mitzvah amur b'torah chutz min atfilin sharei nemar behem pe'er. So mafkina la b'gemara mita amar rachmana li chezkel pe'ercha chavosh alecha mashma da'atu d'mechayvet. Avachule alma, tirei v'af agav d'meha nafgalan, afilu hachi sricha lemeimar taima d'nemar behem pe'er, kihechi d'loneima nelef mina d'chihechi d'miftar mitfilin kach yehe patur mikol mitzah lachein. I'm sorry, kulan v'amrinan. Maminan deleta. Why did tefillin shani lefish nemar ben peir ve'en ra'oi la'avel sheyichahen peir? Okay, so the Ran here says two things. One is he discusses the fact that we have two different sources ostensibly, right? Two bases for saying that an avel doesn't wear tefillin. One is the fact that Yechezkel is told Pe'ercha Chavosh Alecha Mashma that other Avelim do not wear tefillin. That's number one. Number two, tefillin is called Pe'er, and therefore what? And therefore, says the Ran, therefore we don't learn from there. We don't learn from tefillin to other things because tefillin is unique. By tefillin is a particular svara. What's a svara? It says, because ve'ein ra'oi la'avel sheichahein pe'er. Okay? So is this an avel halacha, avel halacha, or a tefillin halacha?
Avel.
Okay, so we all agree? It's an avel halacha, right? Yes? Good?
Why?
Because it says that it's inappropriate for an avel to you know, to be going around with this type of majesty. I'm saying that's a begamnes avel. Okay? Let's keep score. Okay? So the Ran says that's Avelut. Okay? Yes, we'll come to Rash. Okay? Let's look at Rash. The only problem is we have a bunch of Rashi, so we have to do them one by one, I guess, right? So let's put this away, and let's see. There are all these different Rashis, right? Okay. Let's look. Let's start in Chaf Hamad Aleph. In Chaf Hamad Aleph, Gemara says, start with the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda Amarav. Okay, where the little star is. Okay, the little star is about half a dozen lines on the bottom, something like that. Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda Amarav. Avel Chayav Bechol Hamitzvah Amur B'Torah Chutz Min HaTfilin Sharei Nemar Behem Pe'er. So Rashi says, let's see what Rashi says. Rashi says, Rega. Shenemar behem pe'er. Okay, everyone have it? Shenemar behem pe'er. So go very carefully. Kidil kaman. Okay, it says later on the Gemara. Va'avel lav bar pe'erhu. Ukeshemit pa'er mar'er batzmo she'eno avel. Avel talacha or tefillin halacha?
Avel.
Okay, avel talacha. Everyone agree? Yes?
Yeah.
We're good to go? Yes? Okay, Rashi, chafeh mebet. Very nice. Sukkah chafeh mebet. Rashi tells us, talacha avelut, along the lines of the Ran. Obviously, I'm being anachronistic, but forgive me for a moment. That's not our concern at the moment. Okay, so let's move forward. Chaf Hamad Bet. Zipping along. Chaf Hamad Bet. Don't worry, I haven't forgotten about Tosa. We'll come back to Tosa. Tosa is parenthetical. Okay, Tosa is parenthetical, although it's something interesting I'd like to just point out. But okay. So we come to Chaf Hamad Bet, and again the Gemara discusses this issue. And it says as follows. Gufa. Chaf Hamad Bet and Sukkah. Okay? Going one by one. Chaf Hamad Bet and Sukkah. Everyone have it? Gufa? Gufa. Amarav Abba Barzavda Amarav. Avel Chaya Bechol Mitzvot Hamura Betorah Chutz Metfilin Shereinem Abayim Pe'er. Mida Amar Le Rachman Ali Chezkel Pe'ercha Chavosh Alecha Vigomer. So atu dimachayvet, aval kule alma petire. Okay, and it goes on to say vani miel biyom rishon. Okay, so pe'ercha chavosh alecha, atu dimachayvet, aval kule alma petire. Okay, so we have clearly the two different points about tefillin, an aval and tefillin, that we have number one, pe'er, and number two, mida amar le rachman ali chezkel pe'er chavosh alecha atu demachayvet aval kule alma p'tire. Okay? Says Rashi, mida amar Le Rachmana Li Chezkel. First wide line in Rashi, medium wide line in Rashi. Mida Amar Le Rachmana Li Chezkel. Dika Amar Le Rachmana Hinanilo Keach Mimchat Machmad Einecha B'Magefa V'Gomer Ha'aneik Dom Meitim Eva Lo Taseh. Okay, Lo Titabel Aleha. Okay, Pe'ercha Chavosh Al Roshecha. Shelo kederach shar avelim. Okay, unlike other avelim, wear your tefillin. Lefi shani oseh otcha ot umofet liYisrael shekach atidim lamut meitehem ve'ein ish mitabel lehem alma. So what do we see? Avel asur bitefillin. So what do we see?
Tefillin.
Okay. Anyone disagree? Okay. Go on. So this was Chaf Hey, I'm an Aleph. Chaf Hey, I'm an Aleph. Then we have Sukkah, Chaf Hey, I'm a Bet. It tells us again, it's Avel. Oh, very nice. We're doing well.
Wait, okay. It's Avelos? I thought it was Tefillin.
Where? Did I write down anything other than what you told me?
Yeah.
I did? Okay, I'm sorry. Let's read again then. Okay, sorry. Well, which one are you talking about? Chaf Hamad Bet?
Yeah.
Chaf Hamad Aleph, you're okay with. We move to Chaf Hamad Bet. So let's read it again.
He says, I'm just
a secretary here. I'm just writing down what...
It says that Avel Asur B'Tefillin, and Avel is Asur in Tefillin. Meaning it's a Tefillin, it's an Avel just Asur, but it's as hard as Tefillin.
Well, Avel Asur B'Tefillin means an Asur, and Avel is Asur to wear Tefillin.
Right.
Can you read the other part?
So wouldn't it make more sense for it to be Tefillin mitzvah?
Why?
It could also be Avel, and also Avel can't do it because it's...
So then why isn't Avel
mitzvah? If I say that, in other words, there's a difference, I think, between saying... I don't know, I'm, I'm asking. I mean, avil asur tefillin is the same fact. An avil can't wear tefillin. Okay, but I don't know if that tells me whether it's an avil halacha or tefillin halacha. Maybe an avil can't wear tefillin because
he's an avil, or
because of avil, so because of tefillin. So what are you telling me about this? About this Rashi?
You don't know.
It's ambiguous.
You don't know. Okay. You don't know. Okay. I have no problems with that. So we don't. Okay. Let's just read it one more time to be sure. Okay. Mid amale rachmana li cheska v'chule de ka amale rachmana hinini lokeach, etc. Okay. And then perachachavo shalom roshecha shelo kidero shar avelim lefish ani osel tcha ot mofel Yisrael shekachatim lamut mitem ve'in ish medabelim alma avel asur bitfilin. Okay. Okay. You think it's an avelut issue? Okay. So either it's ambiguous or it's telling us it's an avelut issue. Good? I'm with you. I tend to think that it sounds a little bit like an avelut issue, but okay, we can agree to disagree for the moment. That's okay. Let's come to Ketubah. Okay? So again, we have the Sugging Ketubot by the star, right? Va'amara Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda Marav. Avel chaya b'chol mitzar mur b'torah chutz min atfilin shenemar b'hem pe'er. Okay? Says Rashi, shenemar b'hem pe'er, pe'ercha chavosh alecha, ve'avel me'olal b'afar, b'afar karno, I'm sorry, let's try it again. Ve'avel me'olal b'afar karno v'rosho. Ve'in ze pe'er l'tfilin. Okay, so pe'er cha chavosh alecha. So says Rashi that since it's pe'er cha chavosh alecha, ve'avel me'olal ba'afar karnova rosho. Since the avel is like, you know, but he's like, you know, all covered in dirt, and you know, so in other words, an avel is in a lowly state. Ve'in ze pe'er l'tfilin. Right? Tfilin is called pe'er, and if an avel will wear his tfilin, so that's not pe'er for the tfilin. Tfilin halacha or avel halacha?
Tfilin.
Okay. Rashi is very clear here. Tfilin halacha. Okay. So I have a simple question. What's the sheet of Rashi?
We don't know.
What did you come up with? Members of the jury, what did you come up with? What do you decide? What does Rashi hold?
Rashi's confused.
How do you know Rashi's confused? Maybe you are confused. No offense, but... With all due respect, I don't think Rashi's confused.
I know.
Me too. Me too. Okay. So, I think that not only is Rashi not confused, not only does Rashi have a very consistent shita, and a very, very clear and consistent and compelling shita, but Rashi is explaining a dimension of the sugya that bothers everyone, and we'll get to in just a moment. Let's first go to Tosfot. Okay, let's discuss Tosfot a little bit, and then we'll come back to Rashi. I know we're in the middle of a lot of things, but that's the nature of learning. So what can you do? Let's go. Let's turn to Tosfot on the bottom of Chaf Hei Amud Aleph. Sharei Nemar Behem Pe'er. No? It's weird. Chaf Hei Amud Aleph, the bottom of Chaf Hei Amud Aleph, Tosfot Yom Matkil, Sharei Nemar Behem Pe'er. Okay. L'kaman b'shmait mefarish midika amar le rachmana li yichez kal pe'er chachavosh alecha atu d'mechayvit aval kule alma p'tire. V'had mashma lishna shatam talui mishum d'ikre pe'er v'avel lav bar pe'er hu. It sounds like the issue is that tefillin requires pe'er, and avel is not in a state of pe'er. Mm-hmm. Ukashimit pa'er mar'ea batzmo she'ino avel. Lo atle me'mar ela delo yalfinan me'hacha le'potro mishar mitzvah. Tishai tefillin te'ikri pa'er. Okay. So Tosfot is trying to do what? What is Tosfot trying to answer? What's the implicit question in Tosa?
Why? What's it falling under tefillin or why does it say shnei pair?
Okay, meaning.
Meaning you already know that your patra can come from somewhere else. So why?
Somewhere else being.
Somewhere else being.
Okay, I mean, both are from the Pascha and Yechezkel, but there are two things we're saying about, right? One is an inference from the fact that Yechezkel is Chayav, it shows you that everyone else is Pater. And number two, that Tefillin is Pe'er, and so there's a conflict between Pe'er and Avel, right? On whichever side we're going to go, but okay. So in other words, Tosfot is dealing with the issue that Ron mentioned, namely, the question of why we seem to have two different sources, okay? And the way that Tosfot and the Ran explain it is that one is telling me why Tefillin is... one is telling me the source that Tefillin is Pater, right? Then Avel is Pater and Tefillin, whichever way however you want to say it. That's one thing. That's Mid Amar Le Rachman Ali Chezkel. So it's an inference that a normal Avel is Pater, A. B, we're being told why, once I know that the Avel is Pater from Tefillin, I don't extend that to other mitzvah. I don't take that as a binyan av. I don't take that as a paradigm. Why? Because there's something unique about Tefillin. Right? Beseder? That's what Tosa says. Take careful note of it. It's going to be important. Ve'im tomar. And what I'm about to say now for the next few minutes is basically to finish up Tosa. I just want to finish Tosa because Vim Toma. I have a problem with Tosa and many of the Rishonim that I have no answer for, but I'll give you the question and okay. You can look at it as a question or answer depending on what you like. But Vim Toma. Umay shna gabi tfilin da aminan de dav kali cheskel ka amale velo lishara velim. V'gavi Talmud Torah, Amrina Parakam de Moikatan, Avel Aser b'Talmud Torah, Avel Aser b'Talmud Torah, Mida Amrle Rachman Yechezkel Hanegdo. Okay? So, Da'avdi Shar Avelim Ki Yechezkel. When it comes to Talmud Torah, we equate, right? We make other Avelim like Yechezkel. We take Yechezkel as a model for what it means to be an Avel. So we say that we're equating Yechezkel in this circumstance, what he's told to do, and we take that as a model for what an Avel. And Avel doesn't learn Torah, just like Yechezkel doesn't learn Torah. Then when it comes to Tefillin, we say, from the fact that Yechezkel didn't wear Tefillin, I said that backwards, from the fact that Yechezkel does wear Tefillin, what does that tell me? Other Avelim don't wear Tefillin. So, you can't have it both ways. That doesn't make any sense, right? Right? It doesn't work. So Tosa gives an answer. Tosa gives an answer. And I'm a little bit troubled because I think that there's a much better answer than Tosa's answer. I'm going to show it to you in a moment. Maybe you'll show me. But there's, to my mind, a much better answer than Tosa. I don't understand why Tosa says what they do. I don't have an answer to that. But, okay, I'm going to suggest a different answer. B'yesh lomar, de bedivrei Torah, meaning learning Torah, sheshina bo'akata mikuli alma, where he's saying, where Yechezkel is being told to do something unusual, meaning to stop learning Torah. So itlan lemeimar mishum de avil aser b'divrei Torah. So it must be because an avil is aser b'divrei Torah. Because if it's the same, then why would it tell us that aval b'tfilin amai hutsra? I'm sorry, I said that backwards. When it comes to Talmud Torah and Yechezkel is being told to do something different, presumably it's because he's different, because he's an avil. So that's why he's being told not to learn Torah, because it's an avil. But when it comes to tefillin, aval b'tfilin. Why does he have to be told there's already mitzvah of tefillin? Why does he have to be told about tefillin? Imlo, were it not, unless you say, bishvil shayiti savur laosro, right? Were it not the fact that I say that a normal avel does not wear tefillin, right? In other words, to say to Yechezkel, you should wear your tefillin, so why is he being told this? He's not told, By the way, Yechezkel, you know, make sure that you, I don't know, that you keep Shabbos. Why is he told about tefillin? Presumably because it's an exception to what an avel does. Otherwise, there's no need to tell Yechezkel this, right? Because why wouldn't he wear his tefillin? But when it comes to when he's being told, don't learn Torah, so that must be because he's an avel. He's being told to act differently because he's an avel. This is what Tosfot says. I don't understand why this second half of Tosfot. I much don't understand the second half of Tosfot, because it seems to me that there is such an obvious reason why the Gemara says what it does. I don't think there's any contradiction to begin with. I don't think we need to give an answer. It's pashut why, when it comes to Talmud Torah, the Gemara takes Yechezkel as an example of an Avel. And when it comes to Tefillin, the Gemara takes Yechezkel as an exception to the rules. A very good reason for it. Now, who can tell me? Why is it that when it comes to Tefillin, when it comes to Tefillin, we say that it's an exception to what an Avel normally does?
This is an exception in the
pasuk. Good. So why don't you apply that to across the board? Why are we being inconsistent? It's in the same para, the same nevuah about Yechezkel, right? Yechezkel is told that you're going to suffer a loss and you're going to be an avel, but don't act like a normal avel. And then he's given a whole list of instructions, right? So why do we take some as exceptions and some as the rule? That's what I'm asking. That's what Tosfos is asking, right? So what's the answer? No, anyone read Yechezkel Chaf Dalet lately?
Well, the language is sometimes different.
Okay, we mean the language is different.
Well,
I'm not saying it isn't different. I'm just asking you to clarify so we all know what you're talking about. Everyone turn to Yechezkel for a moment, if you have it. If you have it, if not, you'll listen. But. Yes. What are you telling us?
Come on, is there one over there?
And just tell us where you're reading from so we can all follow along.
From the design.
Okay.
And then when it tells to the people, it's in Chof Gimel, it's Parachan Ar Rosh Eichan.
Mm-hmm.
Different language going on there? That's presumably talking about
the same thing? It is talking about the same thing. I mean, there is a difference in language because it's one, you know, it's in a different, it's, there are grammatical differences, primarily because we're talking to the whole nation and not to an individual, also because it's just, one is describing what he should do and the other, by Yechezkel describing what he should do, by the nation it's describing what they will do. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, by Yechezkel, it's a tzivoy. By the nation, in other words, Yechezkel is told, act this way as a symbol of what's going to happen during the Chorban. Right? During the Chorban, though, they're not doing it as a mitzvah. They're doing it because that's their situation. Yechezkel is told to do it now as a mitzvah, a tzivoy to a navi, which is going to represent what the people are going to do during the Chorban. That's why there's a difference in language.
But did Ezra Shechem here
I see Rosh Hashem. Okay. Okay, so what does that tell me?
That
it's an interesting question why I changed, but I'm not sure what
the head, so it's fine.
But that's what we're talking about.
Right, so why wouldn't it use the same language by
Yechezkel? Okay. I don't know, it's a good question, but I don't know that it helps us. But it's something much more fun to say. It always happens. It always happens. The subtle, more sophisticated things. But the obvious is the hardest to see. It's an incredible psychological phenomenon. The obvious, you'll see, once you see it, it's so obvious. Everyone read these psukim already? Here. Have fun.
Thank you.
I may need to take it back, but for the moment, it depends.
Is it because he says Avel lo tasa? Meaning, like, clearly by here, it's saying that this is Meaning Pasuk Yitzarin is saying that this is not the normal way, like Eva Lotasa.
You're saying what Eva Lotasa is attached to.
Yeah.
I hear what you're saying, and there's no question that what you're saying is true, but it's not the most basic point. Meaning that because of, what I'm saying is that it is a reflection of the distinction, but there's a much clearer way that we see the distinction. So what we're saying is right, but there's more to it.
Okay?
I agree. That's one of the reasons for saying it, but I think that the Gemara has a... you're right, but if someone wanted to argue with it, they could argue with it. You know what I'm saying? Like, someone they can argue. The other point is like, this is black on white. Just read the psukim.
Wait, where is Hashem
telling us
we're in Torah?
Ha'nikdom. That's how Chazal interpret ha'nikdom. Don't mean, be silent.
What
Pasuk is that? It means, there are different interpretations of ha'nikdom, but one interpretation is that it means that he should not be speaking words of Torah. Because primary Talmud Torah is Alide Dibor, Bikita Bo. Hagot. Why, when it comes to tefillin, the Gemara says that Yechezkel is an exception to what an Avel normally does? And Yechezkel is a model for what an Avel doesn't do. Okay? He's acting in a strange way for an Avel. For an Avel. He's an exception to the rule of Avelut. And when it comes to Ha'anigdom, we take it as an illustration, as an example of the rule for Avela.
Where is Hanigdom?
I don't have anything in front of me, but it must be around maybe Yud Chet. It's in these few psukim, where we're just focusing on Tet Vav through Chav Dalet.
Okay. To
good. What does that mean?
That means there's something different
about Hanigdom. Okay. Well, let's. I want to take what your people are saying and just make it a little clearer. Okay. What's the story here? What's going on? Right? What's the pshat? And you see what the Gemara says. Manish pshat. It's very, very simple and straightforward. The psukim say as follows. Hashem tells you Yechezkel that he is going to be an Avel, right? And while he's an Avel, he is going to act in a strange way. He's not going to be Noeg Avelut. And the people are going to go to him and say, Yechezkel, you're an Avel. Why are you acting like this, right? And the answer is going to be that what I'm doing is a symbol of what is going to happen in the time of the Churban, right? What's going to happen in the time of the Churban is that there will be such an enormous tragedy, such a pervasive tragedy that people won't be able to mourn. It's not like when you have one person's an Avel. It's going to be in the midst of such destruction and upheaval, and it's going to be so massive and national, it's going to be impossible to mourn. Okay? That's what the essence of the parak. And so, Hashem says to Yechezkel, you, during this period of time, are going to be a symbol, right, of what is going to happen in the time of the Churban. And then Hashem spells it out. Yechezkel, you're going to do A, B, C, D. And when the Churban comes, the people are going to do A, B, C, D. Okay? And if you look at the list of how Yechezkel, when he is an Avel, acting in an aberrant way, represents what happens with the people, right? You look at the two lists, everything has a parallel, right? Everything has a parallel. You're going to wear your tefillin, and during the Churban, right, they're going to continue to wear their tefillin. They're not going to, right? Perchem aroshechem, just like perchach avoshalecha. And that's true not of one thing, right? There's a whole list of them, Correct? It says that you're going to keep your shoes on and they're going to keep their shoes on. Correct? The whole list is identical. The one thing that it doesn't say will happen during the Churban, what's the one thing that doesn't say?
Burning tongues.
There's no parallel of Hanek Dom. Right? And we see there's no parallel to that. What does that show? That Hanek Dom, which is said to Yechezkel, is not said as an example of how he's going to be different than normal Avelim. Right? Because everything that he's told, you know, even though you're an Avel, wear your shoes. Even though you're an Avel, wear your tefillin. And then it's spelled out. And this is a symbol of how the people are going to be during the Churban. They're not going to act like normal Avelim. Just like you, Yechezkel, are not acting like a normal Avel during your Avelut. But when it comes to Hanek Dom, does it say that that's going to be reflected in the Churban? Everyone see that that's not there? It's glaringly missing. Which means that Ha'anek Dom is there as something that Yechezkel is supposed to do, even though it's not part of this pattern of being different than normal Avela. Yes. And I do want to finish the sentence. And that means that if he's being told to do it when he's an Avel, but it's not part of the exceptions, then it's part of the rule. Yes, please.
And why he's told to do it, everything else he's told.
So you want to know a different question. You're saying, why is it that when it comes to the other Nihuge Avelut, he's told to act in an unusual way, and when it comes to this, he's told to act in this way, right? That's an interesting question. And maybe I have an answer for it, but that's a different question. You're asking why. Okay? What we're discussing is what? In other words, or a different why. In other words, what I'm trying to explain is simply that if you read the Psukim in Yechezkel in a very straightforward way, you see that what the Gemara does is exactly Pshat in the Psukim in Yechezkel. Now, you can ask a question in Yechezkel, right, in terms of Pshat in the Psukim in Yechezkel, and what is the reason that Hashem, you know, gives him this mixed message, if you will, right? Okay, that's, I think, a Yechezkel question, and, you know, we could discuss it, I can maybe give you a suggestion, but that's not the point here. You understand what I'm saying? It's an important question in terms of understanding that part in Yechezkel. But it's not an important question in terms of understanding, you know, the apparent tension between the different Gemaras. You understand what I'm saying? The Gemara is just following the pattern that Hashem tells him, drawing the conclusions that are natural conclusions from what Hashem tells him in Yechezkel Chaf Dalet. Why Hashem chose to do it, so then we can speculate. It doesn't say in the Pesukim. We can speculate. But that's already, you know, a different question in a different realm entirely. Okay? And since this whole thing is a tangent, you know, I'm hesitant to go from tangent to tangent to tangent. We're going to never find a way back without some breadcrumbs or something or whatever. Okay, so we're going to move back to our, but I just want to mention parenthetically, it seems to me like there's an obvious, not an answer. What I just said was not an answer, right? The point about the Pesukim in Yechezkel is not an answer to Tosa's question. It's just a question of understanding what the Gemara is doing based on understanding what the Pesukim are saying, and I think it's very straightforward. Why the Rishonim don't say, well, you know, why Tosa and the Ran don't say it? Why Tosa doesn't say it? I don't know. I'm very, very surprised and puzzled, and I don't know, but I'm still convinced that this is the answer, that this is the Pesha and the Gemara. Okay, so what can I tell you? Tzarchian. Okay, but in any case, what I want to just point out is that I do think that what the Gemara is saying is ma'ash pshat in the Pesukim Yechezkel. Okay, or certainly rooted in the very clear pshat in the Pesukim Yechezkel. But now back to the first half of Tosa, and more importantly, back to Rashi. So, what does Rashi really hold? What does Rashi really hold? So, I believe that Rashi holds that what? You want to say? Go for it. You want to say that's a halacha in tefillin. Okay, why do you say that?
No, just because that would be what we would. Yeah. Like, really?
I'm such a contrary person. Oh my goodness. Okay.
No, just like, what's the point of whatever if it's not like...
Well, the point is to understand... Well, You'll see what the point is a few steps down the road. The first point is to understand how the different Rashis fit together. That's the first step. Not yet. Okay. Okay. So, I think the pshat is as follows. I think it's very simple and straightforward. You just have to put the pieces together. And you'll see that Rashi is not only explaining, but at the same time as he's explaining, if you put the whole thing together, he's also answering a question that bothers other Rishonim, I think in a much more fundamental way than they do, okay, which is very typical. I think Rashi is saying like this. Everyone with me? Our focus is, this is the key. Okay?
Is Rashi looking at me?
We're looking at all of them, because they're all the same. Yeah. But they're different pieces of the same thing. Yes?
General question. So, Rashi is not coming to give his, talk on the Gemara. He's just coming to explain what the Gemara is.
Correct.
And we know that Tosfos, they're writing to, Tobol and finding contradictions in different Gemaras. So, obviously Rashi is in different places, but you want to know why. But that's not... isn't he allowed to say different things? Because he's just coming to explain.
Not only allowed, but encouraged. No, you're absolutely right that Rashi, you can't ask a stira from Rashi on the Havamina and Rashi on the Maskana, because he's explaining each stage. That you're absolutely right. Or if we have Rashi on Rabbi Meir and Rashi on Rabbi Yehuda, it's not a stira. Obviously, you're absolutely right. However, Rashi is explaining the same Gemara. It's just that the Gemara appears in several times. This is the same statement of the same Amora about the same, it's the same statement. You're right that there are different parts to it, and that's part of the answer, that Rashi is emphasizing different aspects because of, but it's not that there is, that Rashi is not, that there's not attention because Rashi is explaining really totally different things, maybe different aspects, but not, okay, that's why I'm, that's why I'm bothered in the first place, because this is the same, the same, whatever's along, it's the same Rav Ava Bar Zavda Marav, that Avel Chaya V'chol Mitzvah Torah Chutz Min HaTfilin and Shnei Rehem Be'er, it's all one statement. Some places the Gemara quotes more of the statement or less, but it's all one statement. Okay? So it's what you're saying methodologically is 1,000% correct, right? But I don't think it changes the issue over here. At least not that much. Okay? Okay, everyone ready? Here we go. This is what I think. You decide for yourselves. This is what I think. I think that, but not because I'm contrary. It's because that's what Rashi says. Okay, Rashi holds that this is a tefillin halacha, period. But, there's a but. Okay, or more accurately, it's an and. Okay.
She knew the answer.
And, please listen carefully. The reason that an avel cannot wear tefillin is not because of a chiyuv to be noeg avelut, it's because of a chiyuv to treat tefillin with the proper kedusha. Okay, that I think is clear in Rashi. However, someone else wants another pshat. Okay, however, the point is like this.
Yeah.
The reason that an avel cannot wear tefillin, okay, what the mechayev for him not to wear tefillin, the thing that demands of him or prohibits him from wearing tefillin, is the kedusha of the tefillin is it's a halacha in tefillin. If we were if I were codifying it and put it, based on Rashi, I'm saying, if I codify it based on Rashi's shita, I'd put it in hilchot tefillin without a doubt. However. The fact, in other words, so therefore, give me my, okay. However, let's go a step further, okay? And we'll go back and reread all the Rashis, Mez Rashim, in just a moment. But first, I want to explain outside, then we'll see it inside. I say like this: an avel cannot wear tefillin because it would be inappropriate for the tefillin. It's not a way to treat tefillin. To wear tefillin when a person's an avel. That's true. However, since that is the case, if I see a person wearing tefillin, what do I know about them?
Not an avel.
Okay. Beseder? Okay. The fact that an avel does not wear tefillin is not a kiyum of his halachot of avelut. It's not, it doesn't come from his obligation to minoeg avelut, but it is a symptom of his being an avel. It's a symptom of his state of being an avel. Okay, it's not the same thing. You understand what I'm saying? Those are two different things. It's not that because he's an avel, he's not allowed to wear tefillin in Hilchot Avelut. That's not the case. But since mitzad Hilchot Tefillin, he can't wear his tefillin as an avel, okay? His not wearing tefillin is going to reflect his state of being an avel, okay? Therefore, says Rashi, if you see Yechezkel walking around with tefillin on after his wife just died, right? It means that he's acting in a way that is atypical for an avel, right? He's acting in a way that an avel normally doesn't act. Not because of Hilchot Avel, but because of Hilchot Tefillin. But that doesn't change the fact that he's acting in a way that an avel normally wouldn't act, right? Everyone understand what I'm just saying? You know what I'm saying? So, therefore, what is Rashi explaining? What do we gain by this complex? Aside from the fact that perhaps Rashi thinks that's just what's going on, but we gain something right away, and that is that we understand the two things that the Gemara says and how they complement each other, okay, in a much more fundamental way than we do according to, let's say, Tosfa. Meaning, mida amar le rachmana li chezkel pe'ercha chavosh alecha michlal deshar inche. That's a factual inference. In other words, we know that Yechezkel wore his tefillin when he was an avel, and we know that that's presented as an aberration from how an avel normally acts. We know that it means that that Yechezkel was walking around in a way that it looked like he wasn't an avel, even though he was an avel, as a representation of what's going to happen in the Chorban. That doesn't mean it's a halacha of avelut, a halacha of tefillin. But nonetheless, Yechezkel's actions were strange, and that was part of the nevuah, right? Act in a way that an avel normally wouldn't act. That doesn't say anything about which type of halacha it is. And what is, so that's mida amar le rachmana. That's saying that the distinction between how Yechezkel acted and how an avel normally acts, that is an indication of the abnormality of what Yechezkel was doing, and therefore we can draw an inference about what the halacha is. When the Gemara says that an avel is pater from tefillin because it's called pe'er, that's an explanation of, that's not a source, that's an explanation of what the halacha is. Meaning, why doesn't an avel wear, not why don't we learn to other things, it's much more fundamental than that may be true also, but that's not the point. Why doesn't an avel wear tefillin? An avel doesn't wear tefillin because tefillin is pe'er, and a person who's an avel can't wear it in the state of pe'er, so it's a pgam in the halacha of tefillin. Okay, so number one, Rashi is explaining why there are two halves to the statement of Rav. Number one, an avel doesn't wear tefillin because it's called pe'er. That's the explanation of the halacha. That's a tefillin halacha. But then, mida amar le rachmana is an explanation of, so therefore we, and how do we know that there's this whole idea that an avel doesn't wear tefillin? You see it from the fact that Yechezkel is an exception to what an avel normally does, right? So you can derive from there. What Rashi also is explaining at the same time is something else, which is if you think, as Rashi does, that's a halacha of tefillin, right, as he says in Ketubot, so then what's that doing in this perek about avelut? Right? In other words, why is it discussing Yechezkel at all? If there's a tefillin halacha, why are we discussing it in Yechezkel? Right, which is talking about Avelut. And Rashi answers granted it's a tefillin halacha, but Yechezkel Perachav Dalet is not about Hilchot Avelut. It's about acting as an Avel typically does, or not acting as an Avel typically does. Whether that's coming from a halacha in tefillin or a halacha in Avelut is not the point. The point is, when you look at Yechezkel, does he look strange as an Avel, or does he look normal as an Avel? That's what the Perek's about. And therefore, Rashi, in one fell swoop, really explains the two statements of Rav. He explains why, even though it's halach of tefillin, it's discussed in Yechezkel Perachav Dalet. Rashi deals with all these things, you know, all together, kidarko. Okay?
Someone say? I understand how that explains Rashi.
So now let's read Rashi and you'll see everything's very clear. Okay, now I'm going to read Rashi's again. Well, as I said before, I was just being the secretary here. I didn't say that I agreed with any of this. I was writing down what you people told me.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to tell you what I think about Rashi. Right. You had your turn, now I have my turn. It's fair, right? It's reasonable. Is that reasonable? It's fair. Okay. I didn't let you people go first. It's only right, but okay. Let's reread the Rashis and see if they work. It says Rashi, Chafayim and Aleph. Let's go Keseder. Chafayim and Aleph. I'm going to go over it again. Chafayim and Aleph. It says Rashi, Shenemar Bahen Pe'er. Okay? Shenemar Bahen Pe'er. Kidil Kaman, as the Gemara explains on the next Amud. Va'avel Lav Bar Pe'er Hu. Okay? And an Avel, listen carefully. You have to really, really read this Rashi carefully. It's beautiful, but you have to read it carefully. Okay? There are two components to Rashi. There are two statements. Rashi is making two points. Linguistically, there are two statements, and conceptually, there are two statements. Watch it carefully. Number one, Rashi says, I'm going to read it again. Shenemar behem pe'er, k'til kaman, ba'avel la bar pe'erhu. Period. Point number one. An Avel is incapable of Pe'er, and therefore he can't wear Tefillin. Why? Because of Tefillin, because of Avelut? Because of Tefillin. Tefillin require Pe'er, and he's not capable of it. That's the first statement of Rashi. That's in terms of the reason. That's in terms of what the Machayev is. Okay? But look at the second half of what Rashi says. Ukeshemit pa'er, and if he does put on his tefillin, right? Normally, an avil can't wear tefillin because of the kedusha of the tefillin. But if he does put on the tefillin, what does he do? Mar'e batzmo sheino avil. So then he is making himself look not like an avil. What's he referring to here? He's saying that if Yechezkel puts on his tefillin, right? So then it doesn't look like he's an avil. It's not a reason. It's not explaining why you can't wear tefillin when you're, you know, why a person can't wear tefillin as an avel. No, Rashi's explaining why this halacha is in the discussion by Yechezkel. He's saying that since an avel can't wear tefillin because it's pe'er, and therefore it's a chisar in the kedusha of tefillin. Therefore, if a person does put on tefillin, they're making a statement that they're not an avel, which is exactly what's going on in Yechezkel Chaf Dalet. So far, so good? You can say no.
Yeah.
Tell me. If it's not clear, tell me. If you disagree, tell me. You hear what I'm saying in Rashi? Two statements. The first one is that an Avel can't wear tefillin because of tefillin, because tefillin requires pe'er, and an Avel is incapable of that. Number two, if a person who is an Avel does... Who's a person who's an Avel who nonetheless wears tefillin? Whose person?
Yechezkel,
right? That's who we're talking about in this sugya, right? We're talking about what we learned from Yechezkel. That's what Rav is talking about. Saying, so therefore, since an Avel, for whatever reason, meaning it comes from a different area, from tefillin, but since an Avel lemaisa, bottom line, doesn't wear tefillin, what does it show if a person wears tefillin like Yechezkel? He's not acting like a normal Avel. You turn the page to Chafayim with that. What?
What does it do with learning Torah?
Nothing. Who's saying about learning Torah? We're not talking about that. I told you that's a tangent. The last two lines was also a tangent. I told you a footnote about that. Okay. It's not interesting. Okay. It's with Chaval not to finish up Tosa. I said tangential. Chav he amud bet, says Rashi. Mida amr le rachman li chezkel. Deka amr le rachman hini lo keach numcha, etc. Okay? Pe'ercha chavosh al reshecha. Shalo kiderach shar aveilim. Okay, this is a continuation of point number one or point number two in Tosfot, in Rashi. Point number two. And notice, and this is where your point comes in, because here Rashi is explaining not the Shenem Abraham Pe'er, but he's explaining the Mida Amar Le Rachmana, right? Mm-hmm. Please, you see that? Right? That's what I meant, that your partial, you know, what you're saying is a little bit applicable, but it's not the... Okay, anyway, so let's continue. L'fi shani oseh otcha ot umofet li Yisrael, you're going to be a symbol of what's going to happen during the Chorban, right? Shekach atidim lamut meteyam ve'ein ish mitabel aleyam. Alma avel aser b'tfilin. So we see what? Then avel is aser b'tfilin. Now why an avel is aser b'tfilin is a different story. That he discussed on Amud Aleph when he's discussing Shenem Abraham Pe'er. But here he's discussing a different point. He's discussing the fact that for an avel to wear tefillin, right, is going to be a symbol. For Yechezkel to wear tefillin is going to be a symbol of his not being knowing, of his not conducting himself like a normal avel does, for whatever reason. And then, needless to say, the Rashi Ketubot, right, doesn't require a whole lot of explanation. Rashi Ketubot is very clear. Rashi Ketubot says what? That Rashi Ketubot says that. As soon as I find it, says. Ah, the ein zeh pe'er l'tfilin, right? The ein zeh pe'er l'tfilin, halacha tefillin. Everyone see it? Okay, Ellie. Now you can decide for yourself. My contention is Rashi was not confused. What do you say? Okay. Which leaves us with just one question on this entire sugya about tefillin and avelut. What's the one question that we're left with about this whole sugya about tefillin and avelut? We've answered a lot of questions. We're left with one question. Right. What in the world does this have to do with our sugya?
Nice.
The answer is, it has everything to do with it. It has everything to do with it. Would I take you on a wild goose chase?
Yes.
Deliberately? Okay, so the answer is, it has everything to do with it, because I suggest the following. The Gemara in Brachos and Daf Vav Amud Bet says as follows. Gemara in Brachos says like this. Amrav Chelbo Amrav Huna. Hayotzi Beit HaKnesset Al Yafsi Yafsi Agasa. Amravai Lo Amran Ela Lameifak. Aval Lameyal Mitzvah Lemirhat Shneemar. Here's the problem. Hashem put the pasuk out. His father does Hashem, etc. Whatever. Amrav Zera. Okay, so in other words, going to shul, a person not supposed to take Yafsi Agasa. I'm sorry, going. Let's try again. He is talking in general. He's saying, leaving shul, we haven't run Shabbos yet. Okay? Leaving shul, a person should not run. A person should not take big steps. A person should not be posepsi. But going to shul, one should. Okay. Beautiful Tamir Rabbeinu Yonah on this. And okay, but not our concern right at the moment. Amar Zera. Mireish ki have chazina lehul rabbanan deka ra'ate lepirka b'shabata. So says Rabbi Zera, it used to be, originally, when I saw these rabbis running to the shir on Shabbos, I said to myself, Amina kamachalin rabbanan Shabbata. These rabbis are machal Shabbos, right? Look at them, they're going, they're running on Shabbos. Ay, what's wrong with them? Kevan neshamana lahad Rabbi Tanchum am Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, namely that laolam yaretz adam l'dvar halacha v'afilu b'shabbat shenemar acharei Hashem yilechu kayei yishag v'gomer. So ana nami rehitna says it used to be originally that I would see these people running to the shir on Shabbos. I would say, why are they doing that? It's terrible. It's Shabbos, Psiagasa. But then once I learned this idea from Raitankum, the name of Rabbi Shuben Levi, that one is supposed to run to Torah, supposed to run to shir. So then I also ran. Okay? This is the Gemara in Brachot. This is Gemara in Brachot. There are the Rambam in Hilchot Deot, right? The Rambam in Hilchot Deot, Perek Hey Halacha Hey, and Aleph. Thank you. Rambam in Hilchot Deot, Perek Hey Halacha Hey, says like this. I'm sorry, Perkei Halacha Chet. My eyesight is not doing well today. Okay. So he's discussing the proper way to walk is, etc., etc. Okay, third line, the Rambam, V'lo Yarutz B'Shut HaRabim K'minhag Mishugan. And I think when we put these two ideas together, of course the Rambam's in Hilchot Shabbat that you saw, says that Lo... Okay. What's a mishuga?
Crazy person.
Okay. So, I think that what the Rambam is telling us is as follows. I think this is how the Rambam understood. The Rambam, on the one hand, quotes the response, codifies the response, right? That af b'chol mi'itira. And at the same time, he quotes the idea of psiagasa, and the he quotes the idea of shelo yehi hilucha b'shabak, hilucha b'chol, right? How do we reconcile the two? So, barring the suggestion of the Meiri, the Rambam has something has a more fundamental answer. The Rambam is saying like this. Quotes around the Pshat and the Gemara is like this. Am I allowed to run on Shabbos? Am I allowed to run on Shabbos? Can I be posei psiagas on Shabbos?
If you're running to Shabbos, depends what you're running.
Okay, depends what I'm running for. Correct. Okay. Say. And what about on Chol?
Depends what you're running for.
Depends what I'm running for. Okay, good. So, I'd like to show you the following. Before I show it to you, I want to just ask you a quick question. What does the Rambam mean that you shouldn't run when he says that you shouldn't run like a mishuga? What does it mean to run like a mishuga? What does that mean?
Maybe
what does it mean?
Always run in straight.
Okay. So, I suppose you can understand it like that. But remember, the Rambam gets it from this, from this psiagasa idea. Right? I'm sorry if that. I'll try that again. Okay. Things like this. Very simple.
What's the other box? The
stop? I'm gonna. Okay. I want to suggest a very simple idea. That what it means is that when Ram says that you shouldn't, the Rambam is taking the response, right? The response to Rebbe, meaning v'chi b'chol mihitiru, that psiagasa, right, is a bad thing. So the Rambam interprets that as you shouldn't run around like a mishuga. Mishuga up. What does it mean to run around like a mishuga up? So I think it means without a destination, without a goal, that's all you're running to.
But you could be running home from Shul.
So let's say.
Okay, what does that mean?
Asakav. Like, a person's business, their work, their job, they're going. But in a broad sense, like going to the store, going to whatever, right? Now.
One more box, sorry.
For a person to stop be running around, I'm not talking about a person doing exercise, but like, yeah, a person to stop running around like aimlessly, just like without direction, without a telos, without. So that the Rambam says, that's a bad thing, whether it's Shabbos or Chol. Okay? It doesn't matter whether it's Shabbos or Chol. Okay? For a person to be running because they're trying to get to work, they're trying to get to the supermarket, they're trying whatever it is.
I
don't know that I can answer every detail. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not trying to.
Like, if you want to play basketball.
But say, again, I think that probably, you know, we can figure out the rest based on this. I just want to give you the basic principle. Okay?
Is it to look like a fool?
So, I'm not saying that he's saying it's usur. He's saying it's not a good thing. Okay, not a good thing. One shouldn't be. And the point is like this. So we say like this, okay? On Chol, right? It would be fine for a person to be poseh p'siah gasa, not stam like a mashur, but for because going about doing his business, going to the store, going to work, whatever it is, and of course to go to a shiur, to go to shul, whatever the case may be. Okay. What about on Shabbos? So.
No.
Okay.
But where do you see this in the Rambam?
Which part?
The middle.
This? So.
But that should be the same?
What?
That your Hilchot Shel Shabbos should not be
the same. So I'm saying, so bear with me just one moment, you'll see what this is. Point is like this. Right? Is the. Okay. The. So. This is the Gemara, right? Basically, we have the following. In other words, I'll put it this way. Points like this. That the Rambam says very clearly, right? The person should not be involved. That's the whole Perichav Dalet, right? The person should not be involved on Shabbos in like their business activities, their work activities, that type of thing, right? That's Pasha. And the Rambam goes so far as to say that's the whole point of Muksam, Chulei V'Chulei, not for right now. We have clearly the idea that you can, right, the Gemara in Brachot, which the Rambam also accepts that, for going to a shir, for going to tefillah, etc., that is certainly appropriate. It's a good thing to run to, even on Shabbos, right? So what I suggest is the following. That on the one hand, there is one principle, there's one halacha here, one concept here, namely, that a person, that's appropriate to run to, it's a good thing to run to, a meaningful goal, a meaningful activity, you're running for a reason, that's a good thing. Running stam, just like meshugana, that's a bad thing. Okay? That's one principle that goes, and that's 7 days a week. However, the list of legitimate activities to go to, right, is different on Shabbos than it is on Chol, right? It's appropriate for me to be going to work on Thursday, but not on Shabbos, right? Therefore, if you will, we can have our cake and eat it too. Meaning, rather than say like this, that in principle, okay, in principle, there is only one halacha of psiagasa. It's not a Shabbos halacha. Psiagasa is not a Shabbos halacha. Psiagasa, I'm not saying it's according to all Rishon, I'm saying according to the Rambam. Psiagasa is not a Shabbos halacha. What is psiagasa? Psiagasa is really a Hilchodeot halacha, right? It's really a Hilchodeot halacha. Elamai, applying the principle, applying the chiluk, or the parameters of this halacha, that I should run for a purpose, to a destination, and not stam. If I apply that to Shabbos and Chol, it will yield different results, right? And if one were to look at the places that I run to on Shabbos and the places that I run to on Chol, and see the difference in those lists, see that I'm not running here, but I am running here, and so where I run to, etc., how I run, etc., those my hiluch on Shabbat reflects the idea that Shabbos has a different orientation in terms of what I'm supposed to be involved in than the rest of the week. Everyone understand that? Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is that the Rambam accepts the response, right? Accepts the response accepts the response of Rabbi Yishmael Rabbi Yossi. Right, accepts the sponsor of Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yossi, who says that this is not a Shabbos halacha, right? It's a more global Hilchot Deot halacha, and that's why the Rambam puts his halacha in Hilchot Deot and applies it to the entire week. But at the same time, that doesn't change the fact that in terms of what statement it makes about Shabbos, the way I conduct myself in terms of that reflects a difference between Shabbos and Chol, and therefore shelo yehi lucha b'Shabbat ki lucha b'Chol. It doesn't come from a Shabbos halacha, but it becomes. Once you apply it, it becomes a symptom of the difference between it being Shabbos and being a regular day. And Shabbos is expressed through my psiagasa, activities, as well as through my hiluch, as well as through other halachot, through other parts of my conduct. And therefore, we can understand the bright that says Shlohi Luchacha B'Shabbat Luchah B'Chol. We can understand Rabbi Yishmael Rabbi Yossi's response, and it all works together very fine. Okay, to my mind, I'm not saying it's precisely the same, but this is very similar to the type of structure that we have in the sugya in Sukkah and Ketubot in terms of Tefillin and Avel, and that's why I wanted to bring it in as an illustration. Okay, how many people got up to Kedushin? I just want to know whether I should bring in that one as well. If you didn't get up to it, forget it. It's not critical. I think it's a somewhat similar idea there as well, but we'll suffice with the Tefillin Avelut example. In any case, the reason I want to do the Tefillin and Avelut example, aside from the fact that I think it's fascinating in its own right and worth doing in terms of just, understanding the Shitot and understanding how to understand the Shitot, but above and beyond that, and it's all worth it for itself, I think that it gives us a model of how to understand the Rambam and our Sugya as well. Okay, so that's the second approach that I want to suggest for the Sugya, is along the lines of the Rambam, that we would say that Psiagasa is a universal halacha, Tilchoteir halacha, but in its application, once you stick it into the Shabbos Chol framework, it expresses a difference between Shabbos and Chol, and therefore we understand the Braita as well. Okay, everyone understand the basic kivun?
Wait, I don't understand really how it connects to Tefillin.
Okay, my point is that what the pattern that I wanted to bring out, and use to apply to here is a distinction between what is mechayev me in this particular conduct, and then how this conduct serves as a symptom above and beyond what the halacha per se is about. Okay, just like in the case of avelos and tefillin, we're talking about a halacha of tefillin, but nonetheless, it generates a certain symptom of whether or not a person is acting like an avel, right? So too, although this is a hilcho deot chiyuv, right? But when a person lives it on Shabbos, it becomes symptomatic of the uniqueness of Shabbos needs to be the rest of the week. Okay, so I think that they're very parallel ideas. Again, I'm not saying one can't be, you know, but I think that Begadol, it's a good example of a similar type of framework. Okay, that's why aside from it just being fun, I thought it would be worthwhile doing it at this point as a basis for this idea. Okay, good. Okay, one more simple, short little thing, and then we're going to move on to a sugya.
Oh.
Wow. Okay. That's okay. One thing at a time. Okay.